Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. We're going to need to look at one of the last pieces of the armor that Paul is talking about here in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be dealing with the sword of the Spirit this morning. And hopefully it's been a blessing to you. Next week we will probably end this whole thing because there's something else that we must do after we put on the whole armor of God. And we'll deal with that in the following week to come. So I'm looking forward to that. Let's go ahead and begin reading in verse number, let's go back to verse number 10. And we're going to read down through verse number 17. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we're grateful that we're able to be back here today. I thank you for your faithfulness of your people. God, I thank you for the message that you've laid upon my heart. God, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to work throughout this these next few moments that we have with one another, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. I'm going to do a little bit of a demonstration this morning because we're dealing with the sword of the Spirit. Here I have in my hand, I told you a few weeks ago, Jalen was awarded a samurai sword as she was after she passed her second degree black belt. And so they gave her this sword. Now, this sword isn't very sharp. It's really for display only. And I thank God for that because I would hate for Jalen to walk around the house and do her maneuvers. And Chris and I might be missing a limb here and there. But anyway, the sword is used for many different things as a warrior or as a soldier begins to go out into the battlefield. I've noticed that as you have this sword, there are many different stances that you can take as you begin to attack your enemy. Now, I'm not going to go through and demonstrate all those this morning because if I do, you guys might think I'm a little bit ridiculous in those areas. But one of the things that I appreciate about this sword, first of all, I want to say this, it's not sharp. I'm glad that it's not sharp. But it is a weapon that is used for two things. One, it could be offensive. We're going to deal with this morning with the word of God. And the reason why it could be offensive is this, because right now, as I have this sword out in the open, most of you guys could probably say, man, that's pretty offensive. You might use this. But when it's in its case, it's no longer going to be offensive to you because you realize, hey, this sword's not going to cause me any harm. It's not going to, they're not going to do nothing to me. But when it comes out, that's when it becomes offensive. And then there's the other part of that with this sword. Not only can it be used for offensive, but it's also used to be defensive against your enemy. There's many different ways, as I said a little while ago, that you can attack the enemy. And you can go about swinging very wildly. You can go in and be very precise with what you're doing with these things. And there's many different methods in those things. And we're going to hopefully share that this morning with this the sword of the Spirit. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a display this morning about that. Isn't that a pretty sword? I don't really care for pink on that, but that's what they gave Jalen for those things. The sword is the last piece of armor that Paul tells us to put on. As I said a little while ago, it's also a weapon that is offensive. It is also readily available to use whenever it is needed. And we're going to deal with this as we go on. The Bible tells us that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It says it right here. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." But what is the Word of God, and why is it so effective today? The Word of God is the written Word of God. You can find that in John chapter 1 through verse 1 through 14. We read this a few weeks ago, so go ahead and turn back there, and we'll read this once again. The book of John chapter number 1. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. It says here in verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John." We'll stop reading there. So the Word of God is the written Word of God. It's not only the written Word of God, but here's something else. But it is the spoken Word of God. It is the spoken Word of God. God spoke these words to these men who wrote these books, so it is the spoken Word of God. There is no better weapon to have when going to battle than to have the truth. I mean, you think about this. This weapon that we have that I just showed a little bit ago is totally useless to us when it's in this case. Nobody's going to be scared about it. Nobody's going to really care that that's right there. But as soon as this weapon comes out, that's when it becomes effective. And that's when it becomes intimidating to the lives of people that are around about them. And so the Word of God is effective. And we're going to deal with this. And so I like what it said, what I put down here. There's no better weapon to have when going to battle than to have the truth. God spoke the word, and man wrote it down. And with that being said, there is no false information in our word that we have today. No false information in our word. Everything is absolute truth. Today we have heard so much, especially in the last couple years, we've heard the term fact checkers. You guys familiar with that term? Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm sick of hearing about that, which, by the way, I don't hear much anymore because I shut off all news media. My day, my life has been so much better since I shut out the media. But anyway, that's a different story. So we have fact checkers. And even with these fact checkers that we have today, even their sources that they get their so-called truth from are still not reliable. Folks, I say this for a reason, because the Word of God was written by God, and God is and God was the fact checker on this. And when you use a Bible that begins to remove some truth of God's Word, that version is no longer a reliable source. Why is that? Because they're taking the very words of God out of the Word of God. And so it doesn't become a very reliable source. And the reason for this being is because man has decided for this, that their words are better than God's. Folks, that is completely false. We need to stick to the Word of God. The Word of God that has changed your life, the Word of God that has changed my life. And not to be caught up in a Bible that man has decided to use their words. Well, words have taken on different meanings, okay? With that being said, can I say something real quick? Even though words have taken on different meanings, God still has not changed. And if God has not changed, then why are we trying to change the Word of God? I want you to think about that for a little bit. So not only is the Word of God the Word of truth, but the Word of God is also God-breathed. I'm going to have you turn to a couple passages this morning. Go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And then go ahead and find Genesis chapter 2. But first go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it might take me a little bit to get there. Because I am using a different Bible. Still the King James, just thought I'd throw that out there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, it says this. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let's read verse number 17. It says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Go ahead and turn back to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll read verse number 7. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll read verse number 7. This one shouldn't be so hard for me to find. Verse number 7 says this. Before I stop, you guys know I got to use reading glasses anymore because the print, small print, kind of messes me up. And my eyes are getting older, and they're becoming worse and worse. But I'm able to use Pastor's Bible that he preached out of, and the words are so much bigger. And I don't have to worry about having my glasses on at times. But verse number 7 says this. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And life comes from out of the breath of God. It has been inspired all by God. And what is it for? It is for correction. You and I, we need correction in our life, do we not? Why do we need correction in our life? Because we're not perfect people yet. Our bodies are still wasting away, if I can say that word. We have not attained our perfect body. And so with that being said, we are still sinners. And it is used to get us on the right track. And so we use it for correction. By the way, the best tool that parents can use in their homes today to correct their children is not television. It's the Word of God. It's not Dr. Seuss. It's the Word of God. And that's what we need to use in our home. So it's used for correction. And then I'm going to put this in there. It is the greatest instruction book ever given. I'm going to be honest with you. I have a hard time understanding the Word of God. I don't have that mind that a lot of people have, that they can read something and they just absorb it right then and there. That's not how my mind works. God created me a little bit differently than you folks. And so in order for me to be able to use it for the correction that I need to use it for, in order for me to get the instructions out of it, there's got to be a lot of study time in there. There's got to be a lot of meditating upon what God has laid upon my heart. But God has given us word for correction, and then he's given it to us for instructions. Now, I've been in a situation before. We have all bought stuff for our homes. And usually the things that I'm talking about go back earlier in the days. I remember the first thing that we bought years ago was an entertainment center that we had for our home. So we can put the TV in there. Well, when you buy that entertainment center, you open up the box and there's thousands, if not millions, of pieces that are in there. And in this package, there's something called instruction manuals. I've always thought instruction manuals were this. You look at the picture, Isaac, you're able to figure these things out. Am I the only guy that's like that? I see it on the picture, so that's where that part goes. Well, you got to go further than that because there's more to the picture. You open up that paper and there's what? There's instructions. You either get it in French, you either get it in Spanish, or you get it in English. Now, I have a hard time with all three of those languages, so I get on YouTube. But anyway, I remember putting this entertainment center together years ago, and with the help of my wife, I do know this, Ashley is a genius on these things. She can put things together just like that. If I remember, you can do those things. But I remember getting this thing out years ago, looked at the picture, and we started putting it together. You know what happened once we got done? The thousands of parts that were in there to put this thing together, there's probably 950 left. See, instructions are there for a reason. Because if we don't follow it, what's going to happen? That entertainment center that we put together, when we try to pick it up and move, what's going to happen? It's going to fall apart. And so God gives us this book. It's God-breathed. He's given it to us for correction, and then he's given it to us for instruction. As I said a little while ago, this sword is useless when it's in its case. It's useless. The Word of God, I'm going to be honest with you folks this morning, is useless for instructions in our life if we choose not to read it. And so we need to have, I want to be honest with you, I believe every believer should have a desire to read God's Word. And let me go just a little bit further. I'm not telling you to read it every day. Again, that's between you and God. If you choose to read it every day, great. Hallelujah, your life's going to be better. But I just want to encourage you throughout the week to pick it up and just begin to read it here and there. Develop a habit. As you develop that habit, you read it a day, then you go a couple days without reading, you pick it up again, and you read it again. It's like, wow, the Word of God's coming to life. And then as you try to do those things, I'm going to guarantee you this, that every other day or every third or fourth day, you're going to want it more. You're going to want it more. Why? Because you see how valuable the instructions that God has for us in His Word, how important it is to our life. So whenever the Word is given, we have a few promises that are given to us in the Word of God. It will not return void. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah chapter 55, and go ahead and find Hebrews chapter number 4. Isaiah chapter number 55. Let me find this real quick. And we'll read verse number 10 through 11. It says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent." Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. If you're awake this morning, say amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, it says this. It says, "For the word of God is," say that word with me, "quick." We're going to discuss what quick means here. "It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So whenever the word of God is given, it will not return void. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, it says this. It tells us that the word of God is alive. The word "quick" is giving meaning made alive. Have you guys ever remember Pastor's illustration of poking your quick underneath your fingernail? And as soon as you do that, what takes place? Your whole body reacts to it. And it doesn't take much. It can just be a little poke. And your whole body will react to it. Why? Because it is letting you know that there is flesh under there. It is quick, and it becomes alive. I remember years ago when I was going to a candy store on 21st and Avenue C. Yes, I'm familiar with the old candy stores that our town had in place. And they're a few blocks apart from each other. And I remember going into, it was called the Quick Shop at this point in time. You can go in there, it's just candy galore. And you can go in there with a mug, and you can fill this mug up for 25 cents. It's like, all right, man, we got our fill of candy just a half block away from our house. And we had a paper route growing up, and Dad believed in slave labor, and so he had us out there. I'm just kidding. We had a job. He wanted us to have a part in really building the foundation for us later on as we grew up to show us the importance of work. And so we had paper out, and so every week we would get paid for those things. You know, Mom and Dad, they divide up the money. Mom get $75, Dad would get $100, and the kids would get $5. I didn't understand the math back then. We're doing the work. But anyway, they're in charge of the bookwork. I'm just kidding. I'm seeing if you folks are listening this morning. Anyway, long story short, I got some candy. Wayne and I were running back home, and I fell. I tripped. I'll never forget where I fell. I drive by this place almost daily. It's on the corner of Avenue D where we grew up, and I tripped over the sidewalk, and I landed on the sidewalk. My hand went underneath my stomach, and my fingernail was torn off. Instantly, that thing hurt. That thing told me right then and there that it was alive. And I reacted as if it was alive. The Word of God this morning is alive. It is alive. It is sharp, and let me say this, it is powerful, and again, it is available for our use. We need to use the Word of God. It is alive, and every page and every word is living. It is living because God is alive. God is alive, and we need to rejoice in that this morning. Not only is the Word of God alive, but He is the Word of God. So how are we to use the Word when it comes to battle? Again, I can give you many different illustrations. I can show you how to slice something up from a different angle. I can show you a different stance which would make us better equipped to take on an enemy. But we need to know how to use the Word of God when it comes to battle. And it's something that not too many people think about when they go to battle. Perhaps many won't even consider it, but it is the best weapon for you and I to use. Why is it? Because the Word of God is our defender. It is our defender. As I've gone through this, and as we've gone through this the last several months, one thing that sticks out to me the most, as we're supposed to be putting on every piece of equipment, there's one thing that I cannot get out of my mind. God does not tell us to charge. What's He tell us to do? He tells us to stand. He tells us to stand a couple times. Because here's what He wants to do. He's our God. He's our defender. He's going to take care of the battle. But what He wants us to do is to pick up the equipment and to put it on. He wants us to be ready. So we're going to continue to go on through this. The reason Paul even begins to tell us the importance of our armor is for this reason. We are in a spiritual warfare. I'm going to stop there real quick. We have talked for several months about unity in this church. And if you haven't gotten this, please get this right now. We should not be at warfare with each other. Why? Because we're in the army together. We're in this together. We're not here to tear each other down. We're not here to go after one another. That's not our job. Matter of fact, we get enough of that in our homes. We get enough of that in our workplaces. And to be honest with you folks, we have enough of it in our churches today. And I want us to understand the spiritual warfare that we're in. It's not against us, it's against the devil. But here's what happens. Satan uses us to go at each other. And that's not what we're designed to do. Do you know Satan wants to destroy my wife and I's marriage? You know, God put us together 28 years ago. Longer than that, because, you know, I remember meeting her at the age of 12. I was in awe of her. And I'll be honest with you, I was attracted to her physical beauty. But as I got to know her, that physical beauty attraction I was used to began to change to the inward beauty that I was able to see. And I was able to see, wow, my wife's prettier on the inside than she is on the outside. But Satan wants to destroy us. Why does Satan want to destroy Chris and I? Because a family is God-ordained. And anything that is God-ordained, Satan is against it. So Chris and I, do we have intense fellowship? Yes, we do. But the best way for her and I to get over it is to go to one another and to be able to talk about it and say, hey, Chris, you offended me in this area. Chad, you offended me in this area. Yada, yada, yada. I forgive you. You forgive me. Hug and kiss. Bye. On our way. Satan doesn't want us to even come to that point in our lives. Satan's working so hard to have little seeds of discord in churches so that we're not unified with one another. So we're not even thinking about even coming close to putting on any pieces of the armor of God. But Paul here, he's telling us you need to put on the armor of God. We are in a spiritual warfare. Again, it's not against each other. It's against Satan. The head of that army is Satan, and he is striving to get believers to do a few things. To become discouraged. How many of you have been discouraged this week? And I'm not talking about just, okay, I don't know what I'm going to have for dinner tonight. It's so discouraging. I'm not talking about that. Because there's some things in our lives that happen spiritually that we become discouraged about. And Satan's wanted us to become discouraged. And when we are in our discouragement with these things, here's what takes place. We feel defeated. You know what happens when a majority of people feel defeated? They walk away. That's what they do. And that's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to get us discouraged. He's trying to get us to have a battle with one another. And then he's wanting us to feel defeated so that we all walk away from God. And that's what he's striving to do. The sword of the Spirit is used in two different ways. As I said a while ago, the first way it is offensive, and the second way it is defensive. I want to note before I go on any further here that the sword is the only weapon that God has given us to use. Do you see that here in Scripture? The sword is the only thing that we can use to defend. Now, we can use our helmet in some ways, and when you think about it, if we put a helmet on, we can headbutt somebody. We talked about the shoes that these soldiers had, how they had special spikes in them, and yeah, you can use those as weapons, but this here, the sword of the Spirit, is the weapon that God has given to us to use, but again, we don't have to use it because he just wants us to stand. So it's the weapon that God has given us. The rest of the armor isn't for fighting, it's for protection. It is offensive because it can cause someone to feel deeply hurt. The word of God is offensive because it can cause someone to feel deeply hurt. They then will get upset, and then they will begin to react to things out of anger. I'm going to explain this a little bit further. How is it offensive? How can it make somebody feel deeply hurt? Because the Bible is like a mirror. The Bible is like a mirror. And when you hold a mirror up to you, what do you see? You see some things that you don't like. You see some imperfections. You see some things in your life that can cause some hurt a little bit. You see who you really are. Not only do you see who you really are, but people begin to see who you are too. So the Bible is like a mirror. It shows us the truth and how we truly look, how we truly feel about things. And not just how we truly feel about things, but how we truly feel about other believers. It cuts to the core, showing us how true we really are. Can I share something with you today? God did not call me to hate or to offend anybody else in the family of God. God has called me to love. God has called me to encourage. God has called me to edify. That's what God's called me to do. And folks, if I'm not doing those things, then I'm a complete failure. And I know I'm not perfect, and I know I fail at things, but just because I fail doesn't mean I don't get right back up and keep trying. And I'm just revealing some things about me, because that's the Bible. It's like a mirror. I can become offended just like anybody else. I can become hurt just like anybody else. And I can tear anybody down just like anybody else. But God has called me to love. The Bible is like a mirror. It reveals the double side of our life, pretending to love other believers when we really don't. But here's what happens. If we don't love, then what do we have for other believers? Can I use the word hate? Can I use the word dislike? Does the Bible not command us to love one another? It reveals the double side of our life. The sword is actively aggressive, and it attacks. We all know that the truth hurts. There was a movie years ago, and you guys might be familiar with this movie, and it's quoted quite often. You hear it in workplaces, you hear it in grocery stores, and it is this. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth. Folks, the Word of God is truth. And sometimes we can't handle it. Because it's like that mirror looking right back at us. This is so true. We want the truth of God's Word, but we can't handle it because it is so revealing. That mirror that keeps pointing right back at us is revealing not only the truth about others in their lives, but it's revealing the truth about us. By the way, I can't be concerned with what the Word of God is revealing to my wife. I can't be concerned with what the Word of God is revealing to Shelley, because I can't fix them. I have to be concerned with what the Word of God is revealing to me, because I can only fix myself through the help of God. I can try and encourage them, but I can't fix that. That mirror that keeps pointing back at us is revealing the truth about us. And to be quite honest with you, we need to stop ignoring the truth of God's Word and begin to make the changes that is needed in all of our lives. So often, I've been so guilty of this. As I've sat through sermon after sermon, I would sit there and I think, man, I wish so-and-so was hearing this. I wish so-and-so was here because they could use this. No, the Word of God is for me. I can't be concerned about anybody else around me because the Word of God is for me. And I got to apply it to my life so that I can make my life better outside of here. And that's how I have to approach every situation. So we got to stop ignoring the Word of God and begin to make the changes that is needed in our lives. Even the sword of man is offensive. The enemy knows exactly what it is used for. This can cause him to become very angry and aggressive towards your enemy. If I pull this sword out of here and you're in battle against me, what's the first thing you're wanting to go? Well, that sword's offensive, and I'm going to do whatever I can to where it doesn't attack me. And so the man begins to bring attack on the other man with the sword. They know that this sword can be used against them any second because it is readily available. Even though the sword of man isn't a mirror, but is an object being pointed back at them. It is a reality of what can happen. It is also the truth revealer because it can take their very life. Even though that sword is not sharp to the touch, and even though the point isn't something that I can use and hurt Isaac with, this sword can still cause some damage. Because this is about 2 pounds here. All I got to do is swing it on somebody's head and cut them open. I can put it on their neck and it might knock them out a little bit. So it can still cause some damage. Let's continue to go on here. The sword of the Spirit is used as a defense mechanism against the enemy. The enemy will do many things to get us not to walk with God, as I said a little while ago. And that's exactly what he is good at. And he's good at telling one thing. He's good at telling us lies. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, let's read verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall eat out of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat thereof, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." We see Satan in the garden telling Eve a lie, and the rest is history. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 8. Book of John, chapter number 8. Verse number 44, it reads this, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8:44 tells us what we really are if we are not of the Father. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat anything. And he says that we are of the Father, referring not to the Holy Father, but referring to Satan. If we are of him, here's what happens. We take on his attributes. What is one of his attributes? Well, one is a murderer. And then two, we become like him by telling lies because he is the father of it. Verse number 45 is often overlooked. Let's read this. It says, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Jesus has always told us the truth. He says he tells us, and we believe him not. By not believing Jesus, here's what's taken place. We are calling him a liar, and we are easily deceived. Book of Luke, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1 through 14. I will not read it for the sake of time. But we see that Satan has no boundaries when it comes to tempting people. He tempted Jesus for 40 days. And what did Jesus use? Jesus used the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to defend himself against Satan. You can find that in verse number 8. He says, "It is written," referring to the word, Satan soon, after he hears those words, leaves Jesus alone. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, can be used to defend off Satan. And Jesus shows us that. Why am I pointing this out here? Because Jesus knew the importance of the word of God and how it can be used against our enemy. And what he did in those 40 days of the wilderness, he put on the sword of the Spirit. If Jesus is showing us the importance of putting on the whole armor of God, then that should be a part of our life as well. The word is used defensively. It reminds us that we already have victory. We have victory. Why? Because it gives us our salvation. You can find that in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14 through 15. If you want to look that up later, that's fine. Because of sin, death was our separated from God. His word has offered us eternal life. The word is a lamp. You can find that in the book of Psalms 119, verse 105. It is a lamp. It is a light that will light the path that we walk on. The word, because it shines, does this. It exposes the enemy. The light of God's word exposes the enemy. It'll make them known to us, and they are easily defeated by the word of God. How can the word of God be used so quickly when it comes to defeating the devil? You can find this in the book of Psalms 119, verse number 11. And this clue is given in this verse, and that is this. We need to hide the word of God in our hearts. That's what we need to do. You heard the story of Corrie ten Boom and how her family and how they got arrested. They read their Bible daily. But because they read their Bible daily with each other as a family, when they're in jail, what do? They begin to quote the very words of God. Why? Because they hid the word of God in their hearts. How can we use the word of God against the attacks of Satan? By hiding it in our hearts. There are many different passages that we can use against Satan. There are many different verses that we can quote to use against him to flee from us. Without the sword of the Spirit, the enemy will attack us, and the enemy will defeat us. By keeping the sword of the Spirit close to our hearts, we can be ready to slay the enemy with it. But all God wants us to do is put on the whole armor of God and to stand. Victory is ours when we decide to pick up the sword of the Spirit daily in our lives. It's not about trying to get all the knowledge to show how smart you are. It's all about trying to love what the Word says and then to practice it and then to live it. I said this at my father's funeral. Pastor did not gain all the knowledge to show how smart he was. He gained knowledge so that he can practice and live it in his life. All the knowledge you gain from the Word of God is not going to do you any good if you're not going to live it. If you're not going to be forgiving, if you're not going to be loving, if you're not going to be compassionate, many other things that we can think about. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is important in our life. Again, how is it effective? It's effective when it is exposed. It's not effective when we keep it inside its case. That doesn't do us any good. We need to have the Word of God exposed daily in our lives. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the Word that you have allowed us to read, the importance of the whole armor of God, not just one piece of equipment, but every single piece that is offered to us in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. God, I pray that you be with us in the next hour to come, and we ask in your name, amen.